Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Talitha Williams, and I am your faith-based community nurse, and we're back in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And I do trust and pray that your week so far has been blessed and that you have remained safe and healthy and weathering all of the issues that we have going on at this time. And so we're going to get started with our program. Hopefully I don't seem a little off. It's been a busy day, but still wanted to come on and talk a little bit. And tonight, what I want to talk about is what is a caregiver. And as I began to research the Bible, I was just thinking about it, you know, about being a caregiver. And I was just sitting here and hadn't gotten a scripture together, and it just came to me. And coming out of the book of Ruth, first of all, we'll go with the first chapter and the 16th through the 18th verse. And we know the story of Naomi and Ruth. Ruth had two sons. One was married. Naomi had two sons, and one was married to Ruth. And both of the sons died. And so Oprah returned to her country. And she tried to get Ruth to go, and in the 16th verse of the first chapter, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And then in the second chapter, and 1 through 3, it says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and she came and gleaned in the fields after the reapers, and her hat was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And so, and I began to read that, and I thought about that. Caregiving has been around since biblical times, where different ones have cared for other people. And even I think about there are others in the Bible who have had caregivers. Think of Saul's son, who was down in Lodabar, and he was taken care of until David found out about him and brought him into his house. So caregiving has been around for a long time. And I think one of the things that brought me back to this tonight is the fact that this week I've seen a lot of different phases of caregiving. A lot of times we look at it in terms of people taking care of elderly people, but this week I've seen a caregiver that has to take care of someone who has a mental illness. I've seen a mother who takes care of her grown mental ill son, and then I've seen siblings having to split the time and take care of their mental ill brother. And then I've seen patients that, especially female patients who have come to the clinic for their appointments, and they have had to bring in their mental ill child. Most of the time these children are older children. So caregiving has been around for a long time, and it is different phases of caregiving. So it's not just children taking care of their elderly parents or family members taking care of elderly parents or, you know, just friends and neighborhood taking care of elderly parents, but caregiving encompasses all of it, taking care of people who have mental illness, taking care of children who have limited mental abilities, and then, of course, you have the elderly. And when you think about caregiving, you think about providing the assistance and meeting the daily needs of another person. Caregiving can be formal or it can be informal. If you're talking about formal caregiving, you're talking about people who are paid for their services. And some of them have had training or education in providing this type of care. And so it depends on the level of need of the person that they're taking care of. This could include services like from home health agencies or other trained professionals or facilities like your, a lot of times now you have these memory centers in certain facilities for people who have dementia or Alzheimer's. But then you have the informal caregiver who can encompass family members or other people who give care to, it could be family member, it could be giving care to a friend, and they usually don't get paid for that. A caregiver gives care, and generally they're able to stay in their own environment, which is really fantastic. It could be for an aging parent or spouse, as I said, or all the relatives, or somebody who's not even related to you, or somebody who's has a illness or somebody who's disabled. And when we think of caregiving, a lot of times our minds go to the fact that they are providing day-to-day care with getting dressed and helping them get out of bed or helping them with their eating or helping them with their bathroom needs. But it could be a caregiver, it could be providing transportation. I know that one of my sister's friend in Maryland, what she does after she retired, she takes people to their appointments. And so she got licensed to provide transportation. And so she'll take them to their appointments. And sometimes if they have to go shopping, she'll take them to shopping. And so it encompasses transportation to whatever they need to go to, grocery shopping, helping with the housework, helping with preparing meals, as well as their personal needs. And so a lot of times, especially informal caregivers, they're not really formally paid. Now, I do know informal caregivers who family members will give them some money, but when you're talking about a formal caregiver, you're talking about, I mean, there is a standard fee for what they're doing, but informal caregivers are usually given, you know, they are given money, but it may not be the amount that if they were a formal caregiver they would get. So if you're an informal caregiver, don't feel like you're alone because there are plenty of those. According to a poll done by the AARP and the National Alliance of Caregiving, they estimate that of more than of more than 65.7 million Americans serve as informal caregivers. That's a lot of people, 65.7 million Americans. And this could include a child with special needs or an adult who lives in a community that needs help. Most caregivers, which is 86%, are related to the person they are providing the care for, with about a third of the, this percentage caring for parents. The average age of a caregiver, which surprised me, is 49, and most caregivers, which about 66% are women, and that I knew. But there are also men who serve as caregivers as well. So so you have men caregivers. And I did have the opportunity to deal with a male caregiver. And he was just, I've had two. I had one male caregiver caring for his mother, and I had another male caregiver caring for his father. And they were very both excellent caregivers. I mean, I could not have asked for anyone to be more attentive, making sure their personal needs were met, just excellent. And it's also it's a myth that most of the elderly are cared in nursing home. That surprised me because I was thinking that most of our elderly people are in nursing facilities within the United States. But most long-term care is provided by family and friends in the home. That, and as much as I have been in the field with seeing this, I was really, really surprised at the percentage. And it says that only it's only 11% that live in nursing home or in assisted living facilities. And I do know that a lot of the family member will try as much as they can to keep their family member at home. It does become difficult in two situations, and that is when it produces a lot of stress on their day-to-day life because some of them are still working, some of them still have families, and also if the mental capacity of the person they're caring for far exceeds their ability to keep them safe. And for this reason, a lot of times with all that they're doing, because most of the time those that are caring for those that need help, it's very stressful because they also have their own life. But they've got to make sure that the other person is taken care of too. And so I know I, when I did home health, we had elderly lady, and she had, I want to say it was either four or five daughters. And so in order to break up the stress of caring for their mom would spend X amount of weeks at each daughter's house. Now, I think there was one that lived there, and so she stayed there for those weeks, but they would take turns, and wherever she would go, we would go to that home and provide the care that we were doing for her under home health. So it worked out real good because no one person got stressed out. And the mom loved it because, of course, and some people wouldn't, but the mom had her right mind, and she just thought she was a prima donna. She was a queen. And so it really worked out good for them, but it can be a stressful situation. And I remember when my mom, with my mom, she did not want to come to Alabama because I'm the only one down here, and the rest of my family is like in D.C. and Maryland, and they were all right there together, and that's where she wanted to go. So she ended up with my younger sister, who was single and had no children, and so she would do everything. So what I and my oldest sister, of course, was married and everything, and her husband had health problem. So what my oldest sister would do is on the weekends, she would cook up a bunch of food, take over there, and my other sister wouldn't have to cook because they had different meals prepared, and what they didn't want to eat, they could freeze, and then, of course, they could just take it out. And it was things that my mother loved, so it worked out really good. Since I was the furthest away, I would go up like 3 to 4 times a year and spend some time. My sister could go and do what she wanted to do. Or if she wanted to go somewhere, I could go up and stay. So it worked out that way. And then my other sister, her ability to take care of my mom was very limited. So she was responsible for doing the shopping. She had to make sure they had all the toilet paper, the paper towels, the dishwashing liquid, detergent for clothes and fabric softener and things like that. She had to make sure all that was done. And so it took the stress off of one single person. But that is not always the case, because there are times when caregivers do get stressed out. And because the bulk of the caring is on one individual, or maybe two individual. I know I worked with a nurse, and she was in a hospital, and at the time she was married. She had one child, and she was pregnant with another child, and she ended up having to take care of her mother, who had pancreatic cancer. And so, of course, she started having problems with pregnancy, and the doctor took her off of work. And she had a brother, but he wasn't in the area, and don't know what the situation was with that. But it was very stressful for her, because she had a family, she had a young child, and then she was pregnant, and she had to take care of a mother. So caregiving can be very stressful, because a lot of times when you are taking care of somebody, you're so focused on that person you're taking care of that you do not realize that your own health and well-being is suffering. And so, I mean, you just tone a vision. I got to get this done. And I hear people tell me that all the time. Well, I get up in the morning, I got to do this, got to make sure they have their medicines, got to make sure they have this, that, and the other, and their food. And don't add the fact that maybe they have a trach, or maybe they have a feeding tube, or some other thing that has to be taken care of. So you can really stress out and don't really realize it. And some of the things that you need to look for is when you're feeling overwhelmed or constantly worried, or you're tired often. I mean, no matter how, when you lay down, you're just tired, or you're getting too much sleep or not enough sleep, or if you're gaining or even losing weight, if you become easily irritated or angry, if you lose interest in activities that you usually enjoy, or you're feeling sad, or you have frequent headaches, body aches, or other physical problems, and mostly if you're abusing alcohol or drugs, and this can include prescription drugs. Okay, so too much stress over a long period of time can harm your health, and as a caregiver, you are more likely to experience symptoms of depression or anxiety. So in addition, you may not be getting enough sleep or enough physical activity or eat a balanced diet, which also increase to your risk of medical problems also. And two of the biggies that we see with caregivers is heart disease and diabetes. I remember that a daughter, elderly daughter was caring for her mom. Her mom was, I think she, well, she ended up dying at 100 years and 6 months. But the daughter had been taking care of the mom. And the mom, up until age 90, was able to walk 2 or 3 blocks a day. But she suffered a stroke, and so she wasn't able to take care of herself like she did. And so the daughter, of course, was elderly because, as you know, the mom's in her 90s, so the daughter is elderly. And so what the doctor asked us to do, he said, he was more concerned about the daughter than he was about the mom as far as the health was concerned. So he asked us if we would just kind of, you know, monitor the daughter while we're there. We didn't have to do anything formal, but just kind of look at her and see if there was something that need to be addressed and everything. And so because that was her problem. She had heart disease. So so you can just be so overwhelmed. So one of the things that you need to do is when you are a caregiver, they had 10 things that you can do. Okay, seek support from other caregivers because you are not alone, and there are other people that do care for elderly. Important to take care of your own health because, and that's one of the things that I really, really stress. You cannot take care of somebody else if you're not in good health. So you got to take a moment, take a step back, and look at your own health. I can remember my sister that cared for my mom. Even though I saved all my leave so that whenever she needed me, I could go. But she would never, ever say, I need to go and get this done for me, so can you come up here? But when my mom passed away, she started getting everything done that she needed to get done, and you'd be surprised. It was so much that she had neglected. So you really have to take care of yourself. A lot of people, when they are caregivers, they feel like, oh, I can do it. Nobody can do it like I can do it. Well, maybe they can't. But if people offer to help you, let them help you. Accept those offers. Or even if it's something that, you know, you don't really feel comfortable in let them doing, just suggest some specific things people can do to help you out. Like, I came up with a plan with my mother. Now, my oldest sister was already doing the meals. And I came up with my other sister then taking care of certain supplies. So the caregiver sister didn't have to worry about that. It was always there. She didn't worry about tissues. She didn't worry about paper towels, paper plate. None of that stuff was already there. And learn how to communicate effectively with doctors. You know, let them know what's going on and what your responsibilities are, because they can provide guidance too. Caregiving is hard work, so take some respite breaks. There are agencies that will help you with respite care. A lot of times, people don't like to do that because it's hard to imagine leaving their loved one in somebody else's care to take a break for themselves. They just don't feel like people can do it as well as they can. But most communities have some type of respite care available. They have in-home respite care where health care aides can come to your home to provide companionship or nursing services or both. And then there's some areas that have adult daycare centers or programs. And these centers can provide, you know, some of them have just older adults. Some of them have a mixture. And then there's short-term nursing home, some assisted living homes, memory care centers, nursing homes that accept people needing care for a short period of time. And I know that is available because we do it with some of our patients from time to time. So take the time. Let somebody take a break, even if it isn't but for a day. Let somebody come in, and you go spend the day doing things that you like to do. A weekend getaway is very, very beneficial. And then the other thing is watch out for signs of depression. And if you feel that way, don't delay getting professional help because it can be overwhelming with what you're doing. Be open to new technology that can help you care for your loved ones. There are a lot of things that are out. I know what we were going to do before my mom decided to move in with my sisters is that we were going to put in, and I didn't know they had this, but they do have an in-home monitoring system that they're as sophisticated as they can monitor vital signs. So, you know, search out those new technologies that allows you a little bit more freedom. I know some people use these baby intercoms, but you also now have the actual visual system where you can be doing your work and yet you're able to monitor the loved one wherever they are. Organize your medical information so it's up to date and easy to find. This is so important because I used to tell caregivers, keep a notebook. Write down all their medications. You can write down when you give it. I even teach them to write down, keep a daily log, like they had breakfast, they ate lunch, when they had their bowel movements, if they're having any issues with it. It's important to write all of that stuff down. Also, make sure you keep your legal documents in order where they're easily accessible. I tell people to keep all your legal documents somewhere and make sure people know where they are. It's very important to do that because you may not, if something happens to you, that way, that information will be there. If, let's say, you have to go in the hospital, and I've had this to happen where people have to go in the hospital for a test or procedure, having all that information there, if something happens, you have it all there. And last but not least, which I think is very important, give yourself credit for doing the best you can in one of the toughest jobs there is. Always give yourself a pat on the back because when you're having to do a caregiving, it can be very, very, very stressful. And so always pat yourself on the back. It doesn't matter. You may not think, well, I'm not doing such a great job. You're doing a wonderful job because it is definitely a hard job to do. And so you should always pat yourself on the back for what you're doing. And for those caregivers who work outside of the home, I was really surprised at the statistic and don't know why because most people working. But nearly 60% of all caregivers work outside of the home. That was just totally amazing. And so if you work outside of the home and you're a caregiver, you may begin to feel overwhelmed. And And if you do, you might have to look at how you can balance that situation. You know, I know a lot of people work because they have to work. Maybe you can talk to your boss, and maybe they can. You can get like FMLA. Maybe you can get some flexible hours. Maybe you can go to part time. I know my sister, what her as my mom got older, and of course more not so much the illness, but the more doctor visits, because, you know, they just feel like they have to see this one and that one, you know. And so what she would do is, because she teleworked anyway, so what she would do if my mom had an appointment, her boss just allowed her to just telework, go to her appointment, and then if it wasn't too late, she would go into work. But if it was, you know, took more time than anticipated, then she could just telework for the whole day. So in that case, she was very flexible. That may not be available to a lot of people, but it's certainly something worth looking into, because under the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, you can take up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave a year to care for a relative. Now, you may not can afford that, but it is available to you, and maybe you don't need a whole 12 weeks, but maybe you could break it up a week or two here just to give yourself a break so you don't get overwhelmed with caring for others. So, yeah, make sure you care for yourself, because that is very, very, very important that you take care of yourself. Because remember, you're not going to be able to care for anybody else if you cannot care for yourself. Most of the time, your caregivers, they're what we call on-call most of the time. That means sometimes you really don't get much of a break, and it gets hard to really juggle other parts of your life because you have so much that you have to do, and it's hard and it's challenging. And it really depends on how much care you have to provide. Are you able to leave the home for any short period of time while caring for this person? Or do you have to make arrangements to have somebody there for you to even go to the grocery store? You know, it's all those things. And especially a person that is suffering from dementia, and also children who have some type of limitations. It's kind of difficult to just kind of juggle your way and go and do the things that you need to do. It is normal to have different feelings about caring for other people. Sometimes you can feel scared. A lot of times people are sad and lonely. I feel sadness, loneliness, and unappreciation is what I see a lot of, because a lot of people, they just feel like they're on this island by themselves, and they don't feel like other family members appreciate what they're doing and when they're trying to take care of the loved one. And to feel angry and frustrated, it's just a normal reaction. You may even feel guilty, or feel like your life just isn't fair because you're in this position. And you may be resentful of the person that you are caring for. That is very challenging there, because this is where it can get into abuse and neglect. Because if you don't address the issues especially the resentment. If you don't address that, then it can result in neglect or abuse, and that's why it's important to seek help if you have these feelings. Always take the time to see somebody, and if the more than, you know, just to talk about it, because I find out, especially if you have somebody that you're real close to, that you can really talk to them, and just sometimes just talking about things, and I find that is very cathartic by just talking, and you know, you hear yourself talking, you hear yourself voicing the issues and the emotional things that you are feeling, and it just, once you let it out, which is no more than what psychiatrists do anyway, it makes you feel better just to talk about it. And sometimes in that talk, you can even problem solve in terms of finding a better way of doing those things that will make it easier on you. So, you know, don't let yourself get bogged down to the point where it is overwhelming, to the point that you may lash out. That person that you're taking care of, I'm sure if they are mentally capable, they appreciate the things that you're doing. And I have heard some people that are being cared for feel like they're a burden to the person that's taking care of them. And if they feel that way, then you're going to have a guilty feeling. And so that's why if you have these type of thoughts, you know, it's good to talk about it. Whether you, if you have a pastor or somebody in the church that you know well, or somebody in your neighborhood that you know well, or a family member that you know well, that you feel comfortable with. And if none of that is available, then please seek professional help. Okay? All right. Well, I'm going to stop here because I do have a few more things that I do want to share with you with caregiving. But that's a little bit of food for thought for the evening. And I thought that was so pertinent because this week I have encountered more people under different circumstances caring for loved ones. And I was just kind of, it just kind of brought home a lot of issues because I have, doing home health, I've seen a lot of different situations with caregiving. I've seen some excellent ones. I've seen some mediocre ones. And I've really seen some ones that I have called the police and DHR. I've seen caregivers who have gotten in that state of being overwhelmed and really became emotionally abusive to the person that they're caring for. I'll never forget, and she was a sweet, sweet lady, but I'll never forget one of my patients that I was caring for. She lived with her son and her daughter-in-law, and she had a house, but she had had some problems, and but we were working on it, and here we were working on getting her back into her home with just, you know, somebody being able to check on her. And we did all this work, got all of these plans together, only to find out that the son had somehow gotten her property, her house signed over to into his name, then the grandson was living in the house, so she would never be able to go back to the house. And, of course, we had to let her know that. And then the daughter-in-law was very emotional, abusive, in which the husband tolerated that. And so it really did get to the point where we did have to take her out of the home for a while, and she did go back. The daughter-in-law died, and she ended up taking care of the son, and then she later died. But, I mean, I've seen, and then, I've been to those where the caregivers have been excellent. They've done wonderful with their loved one. So it is challenging. It can be overwhelming. You just have to be aware of what you are feeling and be cognizant of that. So I'm going to sign off for tonight, and I will pick this up on next week. Any questions or comments before I sign off? If not, we will finish up on this on next week. And you all have a good evening, and be blessed, stay healthy, and stay safe.
Thank you.